The message that we're coming with today, it's sanctification, God's expectation of us. And a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about God's expectation of us. And this is like, you can call it a part two of that message, but it is really just leaning into the Lord and just really wanting everything that he has for us, that the blessings and everything, we want what God has for us. So we're going to do Romans 8, 1 and 14, and then we're going to pray. So Romans 8, 1 to 14. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Almost everybody knows that verse. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. We have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we would just ask that with this message today, that you would just put it deep inside of our hearts, Lord. And that you would just have our ears opened so that we can hear what you are saying to us this morning, Lord. And not only hear what is being said, Lord, but be obedient to your word. Father, we desire sanctification. And sometimes people are just not in a position to understand it or to know what it means. Lord, but let your word go forth clear this morning so that everyone can understand the obligation and the expectation that you have of us as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. So I'm going to ask you a question, but don't raise your hand. And the question is, how many would like to surrender all and to live by the Holy Spirit? And this is just such a personal question. And some people are attempting to do that already, and some people are not. So I don't want to put anyone on the spot to have you raise your hand to answer that question. But we do want to yield our will and our spirit and everything that we have. We want to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. It's God's expectation of us to live a victorious life. Verse 15 of Romans 8, it says, don't be fearful. And 17 says that we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. So if we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ, who has the Holy Spirit, we want the Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, to work in us that same way. A few weeks back, we spoke about how much better it is to live under grace than it is to live under the law. In 1948, after World War II, all of the nations who were involved on the winning side of that decided it was time for Israel to become a nation again. That was in 1948. And then in 1967, there was a war. It's called the Six-Day War. And after the Six-Day War, for thousands of years, Jerusalem was not under the control of Israel. But after the Six-Day War in 1967, Israel then became, Jerusalem became back into the control of Israel. And then in 1987, there was a group, and they called themselves the Temple Institute. And the Temple Institute decided, we've been waiting for a long time. We don't know when the third temple will be built. So the first temple was Solomon's temple. The second temple was when the exiles from Babylonia came back, and King Cyrus allowed them to build the temple. And a future temple will be built at some point. So the people from the Temple Institute said, we are going to prepare everything that we need so when the third temple is finally built, we have the vessels, the musical instruments, the table, everything that is needed to offer sacrifices up to the Lord, we will have them. They have even constructed a menorah, which is like the light of God to the Jewish people. And it weighs 210 pounds, more than a man, and it's worth $2 million. They also have priests who are taking classes so that when the third temple is built, everyone will be in place and everyone will be ready. During the law, the Old Testament, one of the things that had to be done was a red heifer had to purify the priests. In grace, the New Testament, it is such a blessing and really a hallelujah moment for us that we are purified and sanctified because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to go through all of the rituals to get the red heifer ashes to purify the priest. In Numbers chapter 19, verses 1, 2, 9, and 10, it says in Numbers 19, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is a requirement of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the Israelites to bring a red heifer without defect or blemish, and that has never been under a yoke, so it's never worked. A man who is clean, verse 9, shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and put them in a ceremonially clean place outside the camp. They are to be kept by the Israelite community for the use in the water of cleansing. It is for purification from sin. The man who gathers up the ashes of the heifer must also wash his clothes, and he too will be unclean till evening. This is a lasting ordinance. And if you don't do this, you are going to be cut off from our community. So the red heifer had to be completely red, not even a white hair or any other hair on it, completely red. It had to have not had a yoke ever on it. It had to have no blemish, no defect, nothing, scar, just perfect. And then it had to be between the ages of 2 to 5 years old. In the history of Jerusalem, in the history of Israel, from the time of Moses to the destruction of the second temple, there have only been 9 red heifers, only 9, that met all of the requirements for purification. So essentially what the priest has to do is you have to take a red heifer, take it outside of the community. It has to be sacrificed, and those ashes have to be put into pure water. And before the priest can go into the temple to ask for forgiveness of the sins of the community, he has to ask for the forgiveness of his own sins and the community. But he and almost all of the articles have to be sprinkled with the ashes from this water. It's said to be symbolic of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, when it says, Jesus became our sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. In September of 2022, there were 5 red heifers that were found in the state of Texas. And these 5 red heifers were flown from Texas to Israel. The people were so excited. There were tears of joy. They were thinking, finally, we have the red heifer so that we can purify the priest and all of the utensils so that we can start and we can be ready for the third temple to be built. They examined the 5 red heifers. They were glistening, beautiful in the sun, inspected. But alas, they were found to not be the perfect red heifer that was needed. So the search continues. But as Christians, we have purity and sanctification because the Holy Spirit indwells us. We have sanctification and purity because the Holy Spirit indwells us. We don't have to be purified by the ashes of the water with the red heifer. But the Lord himself said in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, he said, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean. Sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished, perfect, no defect, no spot whatsoever, unblemished to God, cleanse us and our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. So my favorite ice cream is banana ice cream. Specifically, banana gelato at Dolce Spazia on Santa Cruz Avenue in Los Gatos, specifically. So if they had that gelato, I would buy it every single week. I love it that much. But they only have it a couple of times per year. The last time they had gelato, the banana gelato, I bought 3 quarts of it. at $20 a quart, that was $60 for the gelato. I had every intention to give one of those quarts to my daughter. But that didn't happen. I kept all of the gelato for myself. But when she came over, I did invite her to sit down and have a bowl of gelato. That's all she got. They have other flavors of ice cream there. Vanilla, strawberry, chocolate, mint, vanilla bean, rainbow. All of the flavors are really good. But I make a choice. I make a choice to not go in there every week and buy gelato. I have a choice to just wait for my favorite flavor, the banana, at Dolce Spazia on Santa Cruz in Los Gatos, to only buy that periodically. Sanctification is a choice. It's a choice. It is the process of being made holy, consecrated, set apart for the Lord, for His glory. And in the process of us being sanctified, it changes the lifestyle of the believer. In the Old Testament, where they had to get the ashes of the red heifer to purify the priest before he could even go into the temple, there was also in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17 to chapter 26, Leviticus 17 to 26, there were these holiness laws that every single person in the community, the Jewish community, had to live by. God's expectation for us is to be sanctified. 1 Peter 1, 14 and 16 says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord God, is holy.'" We've read Philippians 2 and 12, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but I'm going to explain it to you. So Philippians 2 and 12 says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And it seems like, well, the Lord has already saved us, so what does that mean, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? What it means is our sanctification. It means our sanctification. So it's really kind of a paradox that when we are saved, we are sanctified because the Holy Spirit comes in. But the paradox is the Lord says that we have to continue to work out this sanctification. So sanctification is a process of sanctification. It is when the believer, slide 6, actively lives it out through obedience, transformation, and yielding to the Holy Spirit. So there's something on our part that we have to do. We have to yield our will and yield our spirit to the Holy Spirit that indwells us, for us to be sanctified. So Romans 8, chapter 1, it says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." That means we're not guilty. There's no punishment for us, and we have eternal life. So we need to stop feeling guilty about the things that have happened. We still need to do better, but we don't have to have any guilt about those things. Verse 2, the Holy Spirit has set us free from sin. We have victory over sin. We have victory over death. The power of sin is broken. The power of sin is broken. We have a choice. Verses 3 and 4 says, the law was not able to set us free because it was weakened by our sinful flesh. It doesn't matter if we are living in overt sin or covert sin. Overt sin, openly sinning, or covert sin, secretly sinning. Sin is sin. So we can't point the fingers at other people, as I said in my message a couple of weeks ago, and say, oh my gosh, you are like the tax collector. I'm like the Pharisee. Look at the speck in your own eye and not the log in your brother's eye. Romans 7:18 and said, there is nothing good that dwells in us, nothing good that dwells in our flesh. But Jesus is our sin offering. The high priest had to go in for his sins, offer a blood sacrifice, because Hebrews 9:22 says, without blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So they had to offer up the blood sacrifice. But Jesus, once and for all, died on the cross. He offered his blood once and for all, not over and over and over again, for us. So what the law couldn't do, Jesus could do. And the Holy Spirit is able. Hebrews 10 and 5 says, sacrifice and offerings you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. So the body was prepared for Jesus Christ so that he could offer up himself for you and I. In 1 Samuel 15 and 22, there was a period of time where Samuel was supposed to come and offer up the sacrifice. Well, King Saul thought that Samuel was taking too long to do it. So he offered up the sacrifice himself, which was a sin. It was an affront to God. But he said, you took too long. And Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. So the Lord would rather for us to be obedient and for them to be obedient than the sacrifices that are offered over and over and over again. God desires a personal relationship with us. And remember, we talked about praying and being in God's presence and reading the Word of God so that we can have that intimate, personal relationship with the one who died on the cross for us. Verses 5 to 8 says, if you set your mind on the flesh, there's no victory over sin. It is hostile to God, and it is rebellious to God himself. But if you live according to the Spirit, if you yield your will and pray, Lord, I want to give all of myself to you. I want to surrender everything to you. Then the Holy Spirit will start to change you and live your life, because the flesh has this struggle and the flesh can't do it alone. There is verses 9 to 10, and it says, if the Spirit lives in you, you can live the new nature. You can live. You don't have to live the defeated life. You can live the victorious life, but the Holy Spirit has to live it through us. It's a choice. Romans 6:2 says, we die to sin. Then how can we continue to live in sin any longer? We die to sin. And then Romans 6:6 and 7 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, Jesus Christ, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And then Romans 8, verses 11 says, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. That is a hallelujah. I mean, it is just so profound that the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, he's now seated at the right hand of the Father. That same Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I have to go so that you can have that Holy Spirit. And then verses 12 and 14, it says, we have an obligation. It's God's expectation for us not to live these raggedy lives, but for us to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to direct and to guide our lives. The Lord doesn't force us. The Lord does not force us to say, the Holy Spirit is going to do this. The Lord still gives us a choice. But don't you want every single thing that the Lord has for you? Don't you want all of the blessings that God has for you so that we walk in obedience to what the Lord expects us to do? When we come to Jesus Christ and we make Jesus our Savior, we are blessed beyond measure. And all of the blessings that we get from having Jesus as our Savior, we have eternal life. We can stand and our thoughts are thinking, and the Lord can hear our prayers. And on and on. But when we make the Holy Spirit Lord of our lives, when we give him control, the blessings are greater than when we have accepted Jesus Christ, in the sense that the Holy Spirit helps us to live a life that is pleasing and that glorifies God. We want to live the perfect way with the perfect one, because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, knows everything about him, about us. Even when we pray and we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit is groaning and moaning and sending up prayers to the Lord in honor of us because of who the Holy Spirit is in our lives. When we totally surrender our lives to the Lord, through us flows love. Through us flows all of the fruits of the Spirit. The person's life is changed and completely transformed. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 says, you were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. But the old nature doesn't give up very easily. The old nature wants to stay in control. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the old nature was not eradicated. The old nature wants its way. The old nature is selfish. And we've lived with that old selfish nature for many years. It's time for us to live to the newness of life that we have available to us. The Holy Spirit wants to keep us in bondage. It's that tug of war of do this, no, do this. Just that tug of war between what we know is the right thing to do and what we don't do. Your new nature only works when you make the choice to surrender control. Your new nature only works when you make the decision to surrender control. You allow the Holy Spirit to rule. From the new nature flows obedience, it flows life, and it flows all of the fruit. So then we can have kindness. We can not have to be harsh with people. We can have our spirits filled so that when people come and the Lord is directing us to just love on that person so that they can see his love through us, we're able to do that. When you get a hold of the truth of sanctification for your life, it is transformative. The old nature says, open up that computer and go to that site that you know that you're not supposed to be at. The old nature says, disrobe, and you know that you're not supposed to be doing that because that is not where the Lord has you at. You're being disobedient. And it can be any sin. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank for yourself. I was watching this show, and it was so crazy to me. And it was really an alcoholic talking to a gambler. But the crazy part was, so the alcoholic said, I was never tempted with gambling. And the gambler said, I wasn't tempted with alcoholism. So it is your particular sin, not looking at someone else's, that we're asking the Holy Spirit to sanctify, to purify us, to cleanse us. In the year 2017, there were 5 billion bets online. So this is betting on football. They're betting on ping pong. They're betting on golf. They're betting on fencing. Every single thing you can bet on, and that was $5 billion. Last year in 2024, $150 billion of people gambling online in the debts. The one guy said they give the heavy bettors, they give them like a concierge, an advisor. Someone, if you haven't been online betting in the last 30 minutes, your advisor will call you and say to you, oh, I miss you. Where are you? What's going on? How come, you know, you haven't bet? So then 30 minutes later, the advisor will call you back. Hey, I didn't see that you. So that advisor can call you upwards of 30 times a day. That is sin. That is what sin can do when you, whatever that sin is for you, grasps you and gets a hold of you. You belong to your choice. You belong to your choice. The new nature or the flesh, which one do you want? All the power of God lives in you. All the power of Jesus lives in you. All the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you. And then you say, well, I'm just human. I'm just human. God knows my situation. But God says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever it is you want to do. You were supposed to do what the Holy Spirit is directing you to do. So I come back again with that question, but don't raise your hand. How many of you have decided that I want all of you, Lord Jesus? I want all of the Holy Spirit. I want to surrender my life and I really, truly am tired of the struggle. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. Lord, I want to live for you. I don't want to be stuck in that sin anymore. I want to live for you, Lord Jesus. James 4 and 2 says that we have not because we ask not. And my point, the only point for this message, my first point and my last point, sanctification is a necessity for the Christian life. Sanctification is a necessity for the Christian life. The Holy Spirit is able to do the impossible. And then lastly, John 10 and 27, you know it. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me.